Hello and welcome to After the Bell. I'm Zach Borman. Today we begin what I hope it will be a regular episode on the show, and that I believe I'm going to call the Darden Dispatch. My wife disagrees with me and wants to call it Sue's News, so maybe I'll take a little poll or something and see which y'all like best. But those of you that have been involved in the West Data Education Association and or the IEA since about 1998 will know Sue Darden. She's held just about every position possible, sans president and treasurer, in either the West Data Education Association or the IEA, and recently has taken to representing the association very dutifully at the Board of Trustee meetings and taking her incredible notes to give summaries for people that were unable to attend or watch themselves. These notes are quite legendary for their snark and commentary that that go along with the notes themselves. And today I'm happy to have Sue with me to talk about last night's board meeting, which took place on September 8th, 2021. Sue, how are you today?
Good. Thanks, Zach.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about yourself, Sue. What's your background in education? Where do you work currently and that sort of thing?
Well, I'm originally from Idaho, traveled around the country. My husband was in the military, came back to Idaho in 98, and I have been teaching here ever since in West Data. I currently teach sixth grade out at Galileo STEM Academy.
Okay. And when and why did you start attending these board meetings?
I became an empty nester back in 2009 when my youngest son left to go to college, and our current president at the time was a young mother of two and just was a little overwhelmed. And so I was on the board. And since I was an empty nester, I had the time and I volunteered to start going. And 12 years later, here I am.
Wow. And so were you as good at note taking when you first started attending these board meetings, or is that a skill that you developed as you went over the years?
The note taking changed at first. I didn't even have a laptop, so I was handwriting and then coming home and trying to type it all up. So when my husband finally got me a laptop then, as a gift, that helped. And then the snarkiness, there really wasn't need for it at first. It was just, you know, I'd be the board and myself and they're just going through their business. But more recently, as we have seen changes in the board and some of the, can I say, idiotic things that they've chosen to do and discuss, so I sit there and I can't say anything, unlike the parents who think they can blurt out. So I put it into my comments, into my notes.
Okay. Well, for those of you that have not yet read Sue's notes, I will attach or make it available to download on the website here. So if you might not be able to access it on your streaming service necessarily, but if you go to the West Data Education Association website, you can download. I'll link to her notes there.
Just say that I wasn't particularly snarky. I made very few comments yesterday. So if they saw the one from the meeting before, but was pretty
cool. I will download I will upload the other last week's as well. This week's was much more standard in terms of board meetings, it seems like, apart with a few exceptions, which I'm sure we'll get to momentarily. Okay, so how was this week's meeting different than last week? What was the room like last week compared? Or I mean, not last week, but last meeting as opposed to this week.
Well, at the last meeting 2 weeks ago, it was almost scary. The parents are very intimidating. They were there in mass. We were way over the capacity of the room, standing room only. People were pretty tightly packed together. The parents, even though they had been told that at the meeting they were going to get kicked out, we were going to stop the meeting and go online if people yelled out, because Chairman Johnson continued to address them and let them say stuff. She gave them a warning and they were only supposed to get one. They were rude, obnoxious. It was loud and very intimidating if you were somebody who supported wearing masks. But this time they came in right at the end. They were only allowing 66 total people in the room. You had to have a chair. There were still a couple chairs left and really only two people yelled out, and they listened respectfully when Dr. Bubb started talking, and then when he did say that that everyone would have to wear a mask, then there were a couple of outbursts. But a police officer stepped into the room, and the guy said, "I'll sit down and be quiet." And so it was definitely a big change. They weren't as many, but, you know, so to see that and to see how and the signs that they had 2 weeks ago, and the guy behind me with this big "Don't Tread on Me" flag, and people who weren't even from West Ada, because Chairman Johnson did ask, and there were people who were not part of West Ada, not parents or even patrons, who were coming into this meeting to, I think, bring intimidation and maybe even
to
fear.
Make a general political statement.
Right, right. So there were no signs this time, lots of the yellow shirts, but not a single sign in the room.
Well, and there wasn't anything specifically on the agenda for this week that had to do with masks other than the sort of nebulous what might happen during the superintendent's report, right?
Right. And the fact that they were not allowing any parent or patron comments, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, We've already kind of mentioned this a little bit, but we did start out with the superintendent's report at this meeting. How long has this report been happening? Is he the first superintendent that you're aware of that does these little fireside chats in the meetings now?
A superintendent's report has been a part of the board meetings as long as I can remember. It's usually at the end of the meeting, and they will have the board members and the superintendents can share. So board members will say like what school they went to or what football game they attended or graduation, etc. And the superintendent will usually make some comments about things that they've been doing. So it's evolved. They don't always have those reports, but it's usually just been a, you know, this is what's happening, or I went to this conference. And so this, you know, the masking situation, the whole COVID situation has really changed the focus, I think. And so they put that first because he needed to make that statement. And that's, you know, what people were kind of tuning in to hear, I believe.
Yeah, they were obviously ready for that, as I feel like the district sent out an email basically like about 5 minutes after he revealed his big news, you know.
Right. They had it all set up.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was the superintendent's big news apart from the average kind of like how the start of the year went and everything? What bomb did Dr. Bubb drop?
Well, I think most people probably know by now, but starting tomorrow, September 10th, all students, teachers, and any visitors to the buildings must be wearing masks. He did state that those who already have mask exemptions on file for medical reasons, those will be honored. But the opt-out form basically is not going to work.
So they're bringing meaning back to the word requirement. Huh?
Exactly, yes.
Okay. What was his reasoning?
He talked about the fact that we have so many students who are out of school because we have kids who are testing. And I put that in my minutes. I forgot the exact number. You probably have it. Of how many are out who have COVID, 20 staff members. And then he did say that there were like 500 who were being quarantined at home and another 500 or so who were at school because they'd been wearing masks. And so he did not mention, it came up later in one of the trustee Rusty's comments, that the North Star was that we were keeping kids in school and the current policy was not allowing that to happen. We have too many kids who are out of school.
Yeah. How did the trustees feel about this overall? Because they had a question and answer period after Bubb made the announcement, correct?
Right. All the trustees supported it. He did not mention the unfortunate passing of a teacher at your school, but Chairman Johnson did. Most of the board members and Chairman Johnson were very supportive, but Trustee Rusty had to make his comment that he felt having 14,000 kids wear masks is not going to make a significant community change in COVID. And so I think he never used the word reluctantly, but he did support it, I believe, reluctantly. He had to have an additional comment in there that he really didn't think it was going to make a big difference.
Yeah, kind of sounded like in general he thought that the district was going to have such a small effect and that the numbers were already sort of out of control, and that to require that when it wouldn't necessarily guarantee that it would actually stem the numbers or mitigate the numbers or anything like that. I mean, he definitely did sound a little bit reluctant, but ultimately agreed to it. Yeah.
Right. It's hard to believe that he spent so many years in public service with the fire department when you hear his attitudes about stuff like public safety does not seem to be a real high priority of his.
You think he might see the larger community. I mean, even if it doesn't necessarily solve it, doesn't mean it's not necessarily worth doing, I wouldn't say. But so we had a little bit of colorful outburst from the audience at this point. Yeah.
Yes. But it wasn't anything like what we had had 2 weeks ago. And so it was just one guy who stood up and started yelling and saying that was basically like you couldn't control COVID. Those were not his exact words. But then he said something to the effect of how we're destroying children, which is really kind of interesting when you consider that last year it was all just about getting kids back in school. Yeah. Nobody said anything, complained about masks
until
as soon as we had the middle school and high school back, then it became the masks for these horrible things. But it was not a problem when, the entire time once they got the elementary back, nobody was complaining.
Yeah. It seemed like a little bit of a moving the goalposts kind of thing. And the continuing argument of how it causes mental health problems or anxiety or depression in kids and stuff like that. And it seemed it was last year, the argument was being in the remote setting or in the hybrid setting. And once each of those points was changed, then it now became masks. But I haven't heard much argument from anyone necessarily saying that masks are the cause. At least there's no evidence. That last meeting, the doctor from St. Luke's was saying that while mental health numbers have been higher as of recent, that they have no specific connection to masks necessarily.
But. Right. Well, last year we had the concern was social isolation, and that's what people said was causing the problem. Now we're ignoring the social isolation and saying it's all because of mask wearing. Yeah. And so they kind of took the data, I think, that came possibly from the social isolation, and then just put it with the mask instead of separating those.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how tomorrow goes. There's a lot of, Twitter and Facebook and group chats all sort of exploded at this moment. And this might be where a number of people don't really recall what happened after the meeting. I found it very hard to pay attention to this meeting after that, because I was trying to keep up with everything everyone was saying. But,
Well, there were some people talking after the meeting about how they were going to have a protest, and so I don't know if they're going to try to have their students not wear masks, and they were threatening lawsuits and, just some comments until David, who leads the Smile West Data group, got them all together and talked to them about the teacher who passed away and said a prayer but then I was listening to their conversations, and they're having a meeting tonight at 9 PM somewhere. I don't know where.
I think it's online or something.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's good that they're not all meeting together in a group, but without their masks on, but they're coming up with plans. And so, we'll see what comes of it.
Yeah, I wonder what my big question is, sort of what is the enforceability of this, what schools and teachers will do if a kid is just refusing to wear the mask. But we'll see about that. That's a question conversation for another day. So next was next up on the docket was the discussion on policy 602.20, the academic freedom and teaching policy that has been, what is this? Was it the third reading?
Second.
Second reading tonight. And I will, again, I'll attach this this policy to the episode in case anyone cares to look at it. But can you tell me a little bit about the discussion here?
What discussion?
Well, the discussion, there wasn't much of one. It was a fairly short little segment, as I recall.
Right. There were no real questions on it. The board had had a few questions before, but Marcus just stated that they had taken input from the teachers because they actually sent out the survey this time, unlike the first time. And the committee that was composed of admin, principals, teachers, and board members got together and made some changes. He didn't really signify what those were. And since they were not allowing public comment, it's kind of interesting because there was no comment before when they allowed it. Nobody's really, it seems to be on the second reading and ready for the third and then approval. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, here it is, academic freedom and teaching controversial issues that so many that here in our state, we, you know, have the lieutenant governor and her task force. And when it comes to actually a policy addressing that issue at the board level, we're not hearing anything. It's like almost ironic in a sense.
This has been a point of interest for me for the last couple of weeks. As you know, those of you that are unaware of the academic freedom and responsibility is potentially a euphemism for, you know, like, what do you do with CRT? all those kinds of things. And they made a pretty big change to the, if you read it when it first came out, it had a pretty big change, particularly in the purpose statement, which is kind of like the preamble to the whole thing. And ultimately, I don't think it reads terribly bad. I think it is absolutely justifiable and that kind of thing. But that's just my own take on it at this point. But yeah, I wish there had been a little bit more of a discussion last night, because it seemed to be just kind of like, oh, well, it didn't even seem like the trustees necessarily knew or had much of an opinion on the issue itself. So.
I know. And I just think that, again, it's kind of funny that, you know, we're focused on a thing like a mask. But when it comes to the purpose of our school, which is to educate, and we have a policy that deals with that, that it gets very little traction.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So I highly encourage all of our members or anyone of interest, anyone involved in teaching and or a parent within the district. I mean, read this policy and, you know, think about it yourself. So, will it be, as far as the readings go, is it on the third reading that they would then vote to adopt that as policy, as district policy, or?
At the third reading, they can vote on it. That was a change the board made several years ago. They used to introduce a policy and actually vote on it the first time it was read without getting any chance for patrons to comment. And several years ago, the board changed, and you have to have three readings unless it's an emergency.
And do you think they'll allow public comment on this next time around before they vote it in for finalizing?
It depends. Are they going to have masks up there on the agenda too?
Yeah, because then they wouldn't get, they don't do, I guess they do comment, public comment by issue, right? But it's probably going to fill up entirely on the mask issue. So.
People could have commented last time and nobody addressed it. It was all about the masks.
Yeah. For sure. Okay. So what happened after this? What was next up?
Then they talked about the non-discrimination policy Title IX, which, again, with no comments, second reading. Then we had the levy discussion with Jonathan.
Okay. And the levy here was an interesting choice to have. I mean, probably not intentional when they put it on the agenda that it would come immediately after this bomb on masks and stuff like that. But how did the supplemental levy discussion go?
There were a little bit of murmuring from the audience. I do think some of them will see this as an opportunity to protest against the district, but they had to make a decision whether they were going to put it on the November election or the one in March. And there was a comment that last year the legislature had tried to stop the extra elections in March and because they can have a March, May, August, November. And so they were considering, you know, what if they didn't have it in March? But as Chairman Johnson said, even if they made a decision, they already would have had it in the works. They would have had to go ahead with this March of 2022. But they decided to go ahead and put it in November, realizing that they had the option, if it failed then, to do it in March, because we had one that failed in May. It was out of 2020. And so they ran it in August. And that gets really late as far as budgeting. If they held off to March, Jonathan was going to have two separate budgets, one for if it passed and one for if it failed. So they're hoping that they'll get the word out to people about how important it is and what the money goes for, and that they can get it passed in November.
Okay. And did that did pass in the action items?
Yes. Right? Yes. It is going to be on the November ballot. But unfortunately the price, the cost of housing has gone up. So even though the levy rate is lower, people will see an increase because the value of their home has increased.
All right. So after those, it seems kind of like sort of normal business. Anything of note that happened after the levy discussion?
No. It went on to the continuous improvement plan, which just kind of sailed through, and then the tax certification form, the L2, which again was just informational. Jonathan showed it, and then they voted to approve the levy timeline of November and the language and the form. So, and then they approved the consent agenda and went into executive session. We don't know what they were discussing.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about the continuous improvement plan? What is that?
Well, the continuous improvement plan the district has is to for instructional purposes, and it's like the direction that the district is going. And so the focus was on how they're having, we're doing the benchmark testing, that if you're in education, you're all aware of. They've added different benchmarks at different grade levels that students have to do, and they have set dates through the year where they're going to do what they call dips in data, where the principals have to report to the district how the scores are. So we'll be doing more testing this year to see where students are, trying to fill in any gaps that they may have had because of the COVID issues, and just working to move all of our students forward.
Okay. And is this, this was the first reading of this, yes? So this also, does this have to pass a third reading in order to become policy, or are they just already implementing this?
This is just the plan. The board already approved the plan, so it's okay. Kind of like an update on where they were at.
Well, Sue, we appreciate you so much. I appreciate your time this morning, and keep being awesome and doing what you do, because this is some really valuable information for our membership and those of us that, you know, I have a hard time. I try to attend these meetings when I can, but I've got three little ones and a full-time teaching job and stuff. So it's hard for a lot of us to make this time. We really appreciate you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. We'll talk with you next time, Sue.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Zach.